Yo. I feel like saying good afternoon will break something. It will interrupt what the Lord is doing. What a sweet time. I really feel the Holy Spirit wants to do more. I think Jesus is having a good time. But I feel there's more. Thank you for posturing your hearts in a way to receive. It's a privilege to speak here. And I love those words that came, the next word, that ever-increasing glory comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit, and that we're being called deeper. Many of you have been walking our journey with us, my journey of recovery. If you don't know what that's about, 2 weeks ago, there's a good testimony online. I'm doing better and better, and I want to thank all of you for everything, all the love, all the meals, all the prayers, especially. We really feel, when people pray for you, you really feel it. It helps. Don't think your prayers don't matter, don't count. Each one counts. Each moment of that counts. So thank you for that. It's been, I'm not going to lie about this, it's been a hard time. For those of you who don't know, I was in a boating accident and I was struck by a boat. It's been a hard time, and you kind of realize, I'm really weak. Like, I don't have strength, and like even standing here is, I'm way past my capacity. And you're really weak. But in this time, I had time to think about this, and I realized we are all of us. Like, don't feel sorry for me. I'm not here. Like, don't feel sorry for me. All of us are weak without Him. It's when we think we're capable and strong that we become Pharisees, that we think it's in our own strength. We're incapable of anything without the Lord's strength. And that's what I want to speak about tonight, about our weakness. Paul celebrates his weakness. Turn to each other and say, "Hello, weakling." Not allowed to laugh as you say it. Not a nasty weakling. No. Okay. So we have a need for Him, guys, and we have a need for each other. It's a fellowship of believers. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about Psalm 147, verse 9, where it says, God does not delight in the strength of a horse or the legs of a man. Remember that? Our own strength doesn't impress Him because it's from Him. That's encouraging because, especially for me in this season, I realize that I don't have much of it. So I felt encouraged. But you know that Jesus was the same when He was on earth, in manly form, in carnal form? Isaiah 42 verse 1, it says more than this, but God is quoted. It says, "Here is my servant," speaking of Jesus, "whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight." Jesus had to be upheld by God. He did almost nothing in His own strength. See, I don't even have strength to open this bottle. Okay. Ole. Jesus as a man did everything in the Holy Spirit. His body was as weak as ours. And if you think about Him, you think of a strong man. Right? You think of you as a good man, someone to follow. But He did nothing in His own strength. God upheld Him. He needed to be supported and empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you follow the Gospels, all the time, Jesus draws away to pray. It was one of His most impressive things that He did. So much so that the disciples, they didn't ask Him, "Show us how to drive out demons. Show us how to walk on water." I mean, that would be such a cool trick. You know, "Show us how to raise the dead." No, what was the most impressive thing about Jesus to the disciples, the ones closest to Him? How Jesus prayed. Because in that's my notes are later, but I think it's in Luke. He says, teach us how to pray. Not anything else. They didn't want any other skill. The first thing that they wanted from him, the first ability they wanted was how to pray. And Jesus didn't just pray because he loved the Father. Obviously, he loved the Father. But because he needed to pray. He would have been weak otherwise because he was a man. He needed to draw on the Father and the Holy Spirit's strength. He was raised by the Spirit. Jesus looked strong. We don't think of him as a weakling. But he's an example of weakness to us because he relied on the Father. Russell, I love it when you nod. It's so affirming. Weakness in the Lord is not like a blob. Like, meh, I am weak. Like, don't, like, I can't do anything, I'm weak. And that's not what I mean. You can stand. You can be front-footed. But your strength is in the Lord. If Jesus needed strength in the Lord, in God, how much more do we? We are so sinful. 2 weeks ago, I told you the whole story of this boat accident. But I've been thinking about that. So I was diving and I was struck by a speedboat. And in that moment, I felt fear, I felt anger, I felt extreme pain. And this boat was keeping on going. And I realized that no matter how I felt about that skipper or that crew that didn't look where they were going, or no matter how I felt about anything, I needed that boat to turn around. I would be dead if that boat doesn't turn around and pick me up. So I screamed and I called and I waved, and it was easy to scream because it was very painful, but at the same time I was gesturing for the boat to come and help me, even though I was slightly angry at that point. I realized that it was the only way I would survive. I had no other way to survive. Whether I liked it or not, I was desperate, desperate to get into that boat. I knew I wouldn't make it otherwise. And then, in spite of broken bones and ruptured muscles, I had to get into that boat. And it wasn't a little low boat. It was quite a high, we called the gunwale. Gunwale, it's spelled, but gunwale's about this high. You had to climb up there into the boat, which required muscle and bones. And in spite of the pain, I was like, I need to get in here. And how often do we say, oh, we can't, it hurts too much. If you are really desperate for something, no matter how much you're hurting, you will get into that boat. You will hold on to God. You can't say, oh, I can't draw near to the Lord. I'm so hurt by that person. I don't care how hurt you are by that person. If you are desperate enough, your bones can be broken. If a lion chases you, you will find a way to run. It will hurt, yes, but you might get away. In spite of your pain. I felt anger, I felt fear. What's your first emotion when things go wrong? Probably those kind of things. In spite of them, don't let it keep you away. I wasn't courageous. Mm-mm. It wasn't experience or any kind of skill. It was my recognition of helplessness. This was the only way I will survive that day. Maybe. The only way to be saved. I recognized my need. I had no ability to save my own life. Not my strength, not my discipline. It was my need. My need to survive. I will die unless someone helps me. Someone stronger than me. So I've been thinking about this, lying in pain. Over the past weeks, it was a discovery of my need, of my weakness. It's amazing how your issues fall away when you desperately need something. Psalm 42, verse 1, like a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. That deer will die if he doesn't get that water. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. The problem with us is often not that we are too weak to do anything. Listen to this. The problem is often that we're not too weak The problem is that we don't see how weak we really are. We think we can do it. We don't think we're that weak. We look holy. Look like we have it all together. Put up a facade. But when you realize you can do nothing outside of Him, we have no strength outside of Him, then we are desperate for Him. We need Him. We will seek Him, grab Him, hold on to Him, because we can do nothing without of Him. In His mercy, God creates weakness in our lives. And you think, why will He ruin my life? You know, I've got everything that's been going right. I was having a nice dive. Why would a boat drive into me? I mean, it's a big sea, you know. What are the chances? He creates weakness in our life so we can realize how weak we are. If things go wrong for you in your life and you feel weak, just now Russell spoke about, if you are weak, if you need more of the Spirit, if you are in need, raise your hand. It's a good place to be because you know that you need Him. It's the Pharisees that go, I'm cool, I'm fine, I've got it all together. At least it looks like it. We need to realize how much we need Him. Especially in this time, there's a lot of people in hospital, a lot of people are sick, COVID is going around again. But we don't have a single heartbeat without God's hand on it. Not a single breath. And the question is, the point is we get familiar. Do we realize how much we need Him? Are we too familiar? Mark 6 verse 4, that whole section in Mark 6 is where Jesus is in his hometown, Capernaum, and the people couldn't receive Him because they were so familiar with Him. Could it be that sometimes you come just on a Sunday, you go to home group and you go through the motions, but it's become so familiar that you're casual about it. And you don't realize, I have to come to church. I have to be there. It's not that thing about, you know, we said this thing of, you don't have to come to church. You get to come to church. It's there for you. Okay, and that's a good line. I want to take it further and say, you need to come to church for your own sake. Not just it's there for you, you get to, it's a good thing. But you desperately need to. This congregation has signed up 250 members. And about 80 of them every Sunday is not here. On average, we just below 200. Where's the other 50? Is it familiarity? If you need a break, take a break. That's good. But do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Let's be here, guys. Tell your friends. Where has our devotion waned? Where have we gotten familiar? It's a good thing to ask in your home groups. Go around the circle. Where do you think your devotion has waned? What could you step up in? What has become familiar? Because we absolutely need to be here. We need to be part of His bride. When you realize how much you need Him, nothing else matters. Remember the lady with the issue of blood? She was disgraced and she was pushing through the crowd, but she was desperate. I guess because she was sick, she probably wasn't the strongest person. But she was desperate to get to Him. Desperate. And eventually she could just get to the bottom hem of His garment. So she was already on her knees, you know, in the dust, but desperate. And then she got it. And Jesus went, whoa. Are we that desperate? Are we desperate to push through, to push in? Not go, oh, it's a hot, dusty, sweaty bunch. Okay. I'll take it next time. Oh, I have a bit of a headache. I'll come next week. I'll download the preach. Huh? Sorry, not supposed to be a heavy today. That's in Mark 5:25, if you want to read about the lady with the issue of blood. How often do we say we're fine when we're really not? We put up this face of confidence, you know? We often hide our weaknesses. If you take a photo, you put your, like, I have a good side and a bad side. You know, those, always check if you look good in a photo. How did I come out? Do I look better than I do? Paul says, boast in your weakness. Boast in your weakness. It's so counterculture. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. And if you forget every other scripture today, this is the one I want you to remember. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. How's that? My power is made perfect in weakness. That's why we're weak. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. If we see our weakness, it will drive us towards Him. If you see how weak you are, if God in His mercy let us see how weak we are, this desperate need for Him, for the Holy Spirit, we'll rely on Him. We'll be devoted to prayer because we need to pray. We need to break bread. We need to meet together. We need to spend time with the Lord. It's not, oh, it's the right thing to do. Of course it is. But that's not why we should do it. It's because we will die if we don't. Jesus needed to be with God the Father, and He went aside to pray. That's in Luke 11, verse 1. He knew His need. How much more do we? You're doing a good job there. Your foot must be getting tired. We often talk about the great men of God. You know, if you think about who are the great men of God? There's only one hero. That's Jesus. The rest of us are weak. Some of us are probably more obedient with others, and God in his love has put more grace on them. And we see them as great men. But they need Jesus just as much. If you think you're okay, then you're so weak that you don't even know how weak you are. If you came in here today thinking, well, I think I'm doing pretty okay. Maybe God wanted to encourage you going, well done, my good and faithful servant. Yeah, because you've been obedient. You've been humble, yes. But if you come here with a Pharisee mindset of, okay, I know more. Why are some people seen as more holy, more devoted? Because you get them. There are more holy people, more devoted people, stronger in the faith. Is it their discipline? Is it their work ethic? Is it their strength of will? You know, they've got it all together. There's lots of these people. Those things might be useful, but that is not what makes them godly. It's that they realize their absolute need for Jesus. They realize their need for Jesus. There's nothing they could have done or they can give. They must just be obedient. They would be hopeless if God didn't save them. They would be doomed. I realized that if that boat didn't turn and I didn't climb into that boat, I would be doomed, no matter the pain. It's our weakness that actually drives us because we need Him that much. So if you realize you are weak and you need Him, you're in a good place. Instead of trying to do it your way, like Frank Sinatra's song, I did it my way. How did that go? Things you did on your own, how's that gone in your life? And in contrast, God has never failed us. Joshua 1 verse 8. I don't know if the scriptures are there. Yeah. The context of this is Joshua is about to take the promised land. He's about to take Canaan. So there's going to be fighting, right? He's going to take cities. What does God say? Does He say, you guys better get fit. You guys better get strong. You better sharpen your swords. You need more axes or bows or whatever. You need more horses. No. What does He say? Meditate on it day and night, the book of the law. Meditate on the Lord. That's what He tells him. He doesn't say get more weapons. He says draw nearer to God. Joshua knew where his strength came from. Gideon, we spoke about that earlier in the year, Judges 6. He was the weakest of the weakest from the weakest tribe. And somehow in God's mercy, he ended up with a big army and God reduces it to 300. And then when they're ready to fight, He says, no, throw down your spears, pick up a clay jar with a torch in. And that's how they win the war. That's how they destroy the Midianites. Go read it, Judges 6. One of my favorite stories. In His strength, not ours. He realized, he knew how weak Gideon was. David. a boy kills Goliath with a stone. I mean, come on, there could have been easier ways. God shows his strength through our weakness. Can you consider your life where God has been working in you to make you weak? You might have even been upset with him for why things don't work out or why you are weak. Like I was upset with him. Like I'm still very sore and I'm probably going to have a limp for a while. And in his mercy, I should make a recovery. But what if I didn't? Would I be okay with it? Because Jacob was given a limp. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and God says, my grace is efficient for you. That's why he got that revelation of that written in Corinthians, in my weakness. Nehemiah 8 verse 10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Will you exchange your anxiety, the anxiety of your weakness, for the joyful confidence in him? The anxiety that comes with, I don't think I can do this, I feel too weak, for that joyful confidence that's in his strength. You are confident because it's not about you, it's not up to you. All we have to be is obedient. Philippians 4:13, Paul says, he speaks about how bad things are, and then he says, but I can endure anything through Christ who gives me strength. I had to repent for thinking I can do stuff myself. I had to repent for feeling happy about myself, for even just being healthy, as if I had anything to do with it. If you think you can do this without the Lord, be careful. In his mercy, he may just show you that you can't. If you feel weak, you're in a good place. God can work with that. Do you see the weight of this, guys? This is a life and death matter, actually. We can be joyful in a serious thing. This is serious, but we can be joyful if we're on the right side of this. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your children may live. This is life or death, guys. Choose life. You can choose to get into that boat or not. Are you in the boat? Even if it's painful, even if you're angry, even if you like think it is really unfair, you can get into the boat. There's an eternal significance to this. Nikki, where are you? Just seeing where this is going. Yeah. So we will have a response time, yeah. If you heard some of these words. But there were some words here now.
When we were praying before the meeting. And we were just focusing on Jesus. And I found myself, as I saw his face and I saw his power and I saw his goodness and I saw his love, I was so aware of how I have been living my days in my own strength. And it was almost as if as I saw him, I saw the great divide between me and him. And it was a sense of, God, I don't want to live another day in my own strength. And we pick up our strength all the time. We do what we do because we know what we do. And even when we know what we do, it is in our own strength. And I was like, God, help me. Help me. I do not want to go another day the way I have in the past. Not one.
Okay, mine's a little different, but in the week, I listened to a testimony of an old man. I mean, he's probably, what, 80... Oh, insane numbers. Anyway, this guy was old. He died, and he went to hell. And then, anyway, God showed him hell, and then he went to heaven. And then God spoke to him, and he said... there were a few things that God spoke to him about. What stood out for me was God said, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven if you don't know the Holy Spirit, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit. That kind of stood out for me because we always know you can't get to the Father if you don't go through Jesus, but we always focus on Jesus, and that's important, but this stood out to me. And then in Romans 8 verse 9, it says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. And that was kind of a wake-up call for me. Yeah. So.
If you do not have the Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. I'm sorry, for me that's sobering. You see how much we need him. We cannot do it without him, guys. Oh Lord. Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Lord, we want to say that we love you, Lord. Lord, my prayer is not that in this week that we go and think, wow, that was a lack of meeting, but that we'll go, wow, Holy Spirit is amazing. Wow, God is awesome. It's worthy to be praised. We are so weak, but in him we are strong. Jesus, we need your strength. We cannot do this. We cannot live without you. Oh Lord, let us be worthy of you, Lord Jesus. We can never be worthy of you. Let us stay so close to you, Lord Jesus. So close to you, Lord. Let us not miss a step. For tonight, the rest of tonight, and as we go into this week, Lord, let us stay near to you because we need you, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.